Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is the second lesson that Pastor Enter read for you just a few minutes ago. I won't reread it now. I'll certainly refer back to it in the sermon. I will begin today by saying in Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends. As we have been going through this sermon series on leadership, we've used the Apostle Paul as our example to follow first couple of weeks. So remember the first time around, first week, Paul taught us that a Christian leader earns the trust of those around him or her. The second week we talked about how a Christian leader takes courage in sharing your faith, building those up around you. Today, we will still use the Apostle Paul as our example, but we're going to switch gears a little bit. Because today, we find that the Apostle Paul was under attack. He was being specifically targeted to discredit him for leadership, so that nobody would ever, ever, ever follow Paul again. His critics entered in upon a smear campaign against Paul, and I would say it would rival anything that you would find in a political campaign even today, a smear campaign of those proportions. His enemies, who were false prophets in the city called Corinth, a place where Paul had worked so long and so very hard to lead people to Jesus, you know what his enemies did? They made a nice, long laundry list of things that they said discredited and disqualified Paul for leadership. For example, they said, look, Paul isn't very popular among the people because he just doesn't have any charisma with the people. Paul's kind of homely. He's a homely guy that really doesn't have the good looks, the physical stature and strength, and the physical persona to really command people. Incidentally, they said that's why he wimped out and just wrote you a letter today instead of facing you in person, because he's not that kind of a leader. He just doesn't do that sort of thing. And his public speaking ability? Oh, they said Paul could not preach his way out of a paper bag, for crying out loud. His preaching skills were absolutely terrible. They amounted to nothing, they said. So intent were Paul's enemies on discrediting him and smearing his good name and reputation among the Corinthians, they went so far as to say, look, his physical appearance, his style is so blemished and so poor, he is no longer an asset to preaching the gospel. He is a liability in preaching the gospel. But you know, truth be told, you and I, we don't need professed enemies to try to tell us that we are unfit for leadership, do we? I can do that pretty well on my own. I'm guessing you could probably do the same. We can easily convince ourselves that this being a Christian influence in the world, that's just not for me because I am not good enough. I'm certainly not as smart as other people. I'm not as charismatic as other people. I'm not eloquent with my words like other people. And I'm certainly not as talented as my peers and my friends. I think I would be doing God a favor, because I'd just mess everything up anyways. I'd be doing God a favor if I just sat this one out. And so it goes, right? So, how did the Apostle Paul do it? How did he answer his critics? Maybe even how did he answer himself when these things came up? Paul was in a tough spot, wasn't he? Paul couldn't just come along and respond by saying, quite honestly, I am good looking. And actually, I am that good. And I'm far better than you. Couldn't say that. Right? He can't just write a letter back and say, quite honestly, I found three people that found me quite cute, and Mom is willing to put that in writing, so there. He can't do that, right? And quite honestly, these weaknesses and deficiencies that people were coming up with against him, that was not new to Paul. He knew all. It's not like this was a big surprise to him. He knew all that stuff already about himself. But remember, Paul was dealing with people who had just as many blemishes and weaknesses as he had, and people who were just as sinful as he was. So how do you respond to those kinds of evil attacks without appearing proud in the process? Here's what Paul did. Paul, very humbly and honestly, simply acknowledged his own weaknesses and deficiencies that were his, readily his, all along. All along. This is what he said later on in the book. He said, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." To be honest, it was always amazing to the Apostle Paul that God would allow him to be a leader in some way, shape, or form in the first place. Paul had to admit that really what his critics were saying, they had some truth to it. In the end, he had to come to the conclusion, had to admit that his critics were absolutely right on one point. Everything that they had said about his deficiencies and weaknesses were true. He wasn't very pretty to look at. He was nothing special. But after all, he did remind the Corinthians, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." In other words, it wasn't about Paul. It never was about Paul. He said, "I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant of Jesus who's been given this really incredible, amazing message about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he won for the world and how that's just for everybody. That's my job. I'm just a servant with this incredible message of forgiveness to share." That's what it's all about. See, Paul could take that approach. He could have that attitude because God had already applied that message of forgiveness to him. Just as he has applied that message of free and faithful grace to you and to me. You know, in the end, we can accept our weaknesses, can't we? We can fully accept our weaknesses because in the end, not a single one of them keeps us out of heaven. Not a single weakness keeps us away from Jesus' side forever. We have value before God, don't we? We are so valuable to him because he sent his son. Our sins are paid for in full. He placed faith in our heart so that we know for certain we have the forgiveness of our sins. Heaven is our home. That full and free forgiveness from Jesus, it's a game changer, isn't it? That places everything in a new perspective. That puts even our weaknesses and deficiencies in a whole different light. If God was powerful enough to send his son to pay for all of my sins so that my debt is paid, he is powerful enough then to use me to serve him in my life, despite my weaknesses, even through my weaknesses. God forgives me for the times that I falter and the times that I fail him. And it's that very same forgiveness of sins that he uses to motivate me and empower me to be the Christian influence that he wants me to be in the world for him. But the Apostle Paul, he freely admitted that this wonderful, beautiful message of the forgiveness of sins for everyone, for free, that came in a package that was feeble, frail, fragile, very common, very ordinary, namely himself. That package came inside of him, that beautiful message. That's where God placed it. Inside of him. He said, "Look, if we're using pictures here, I'm not some beautiful censer of fine jewels and expensive stuff. This is the way he described himself. He said, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." He was an ordinary clay pot, plain and simple. It was imagery that was in the Old Testament that he was using from the book of Jeremiah. He used it again in the book of Romans. But he said, God uses clay, ordinary, plain, simple people, and he outfits them with different gifts and talents and abilities in varying degrees, varying measures. But the usefulness of these clay pots, that comes from the skill of the potter, not the value of the clay. See, when it comes right down to it, all leaders are clay pots. All leaders are clay pots. I suppose some clay pots are more shiny than others. I suppose some are better looking than others. But really, all leaders are clay pots. There is no spiritual leader that can come along and say, I have risen to the position that I have. I've aspired to what I am today because of my good looks, my personality, and my overwhelming talent that's so much better than somebody else's. Nobody can make that claim, right? If God did not use ordinary clay pots, there would be no leaders. It's true. If God did not use ordinary clay pots, there would be no spiritual leaders at all. Because there is no such thing as a person these days that has no blemishes and no weaknesses to them. But here's what Paul did. Paul actually embraced his weaknesses. He embraced them, and he used them as a reminder as to what God could actually do, and that God could actually use him, even him, for leadership in his life for the Lord. It was a powerful reminder as to what God could do and what God could even do through him, to use him for leadership in his life. Did you notice? The Apostle Paul didn't even see the need to try to defend his apostleship, you know, to those false teachers, those false prophets. He didn't try to defend his apostleship by calling attention to past accomplishments or achievements that he had. He didn't try to defend his natural abilities that he might have had, or self-promote himself again to the Corinthians to really sell himself to the people. He didn't do that. Instead, Paul explained that the very things that made him an ordinary clay pot were the things that were going to equip him to lead. The very traits that made him a clay pot that would actually enable him to lead better. You know, for starters, clay pots are humble, aren't they? Clay pots are humble. Think back for a moment, what makes something a clay pot? It's baked clay, right? It's dirt made hard. God knows that is what each of us is. And it's something that each of us too often forgets, right? But like we explained to the kids, clay pots back in the day of the Apostle Paul, they were used for almost everything. Every household had clay pots all over the place. Clay pots were used for, like I said with the kids, wash basins. They would be used for tableware. They'd be used for trash bins. They were common, so common, because things made of clay back then, well, they were cheap, they were breakable, they were expendable, they were easily replaceable, and oftentimes they were not all that pretty to look at. Paul was acknowledging to his critics, admitting to his critics, you can easily take a shot at me for all sorts of things. You can take a shot at me for my looks, for my personality, for my lack of public speaking ability. You can take shots at me for all sorts of stuff. After all, what do you expect from a garbage pail anyway? Paul would have been the first to say, look, I don't put any stock in my own merit anyway. In fact, Paul would be the first to say, if I didn't have the love of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness planted in my heart from God himself, I would have no value at all. That is humility, isn't it? That's true humility. It's one of the things that made Paul a really great leader. He never forgot where he came from. He never forgot what God made him to be. But I suppose that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because that's the way our God works. He takes plain, ordinary, simple, feeble, frail human beings like us, and he does great things because of his power. That's the way God is. Oftentimes, it's the people that the rest of the world would say they're good for nothing. That might even be something that we'd even say about ourselves. But God is the one who says, I will take these simple clay pots and I will put my power on display for the whole world to see by what I accomplish through them. You know, sometimes people will tell me, wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it be awesome if that star over here, you know, that celebrity over here, or that supermodel over there, or that super brainiac in the academic community, wouldn't it be awesome if they became Christian? Wouldn't they just be tremendous spokespeople for the Lord? Think about the impact that they would have. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes he does. But most often, God chooses to work through simple, ordinary clay pots. Because he makes absolutely no doubt for anybody that the power behind his work, the power behind everything, comes from not a single person or not a single other thing. It all comes from him. Here's the wonderful takeaway for today. Our weaknesses do not nullify the Lord's cause. In fact, oftentimes it works in our favor, because our weaknesses allow us or make us get out of the way, and it allows God's power to take center stage and to really do his work. One of the most encouraging things about God wanting us to be a Christian influence in the world is this: knowing your weaknesses is not a disadvantage. It's actually important for the work that we do as a Christian influence in the world. Paul was right. He was right, wasn't he? We are clay pots. We are feeble, frail, fragile human beings. Other people might tell you that. You might remind yourself of that from time to time. But don't ever let your weaknesses get in the way or keep you from being the kind of leader, the kind of Christian influence that God wants you to be. Remember, God made you to be something very valuable to him. He put faith in your heart, and he will use you to do great things for him in your life, despite your weaknesses, even through your weaknesses. It will be a way for God to showcase his power in your life and to the world. May God always use us, simple clay pots, to be the kind of Christian influence that he wants us to be, always to his glory. Amen.